I think that the reason that Father Ted left it so long before they got RTE rejected, I'd say give RTE back to the Irish. Because we don't hear very much working class voices in RTE. Or you might hear the voices, but on the salaries they're getting, they bear very little resemblance to what most people go through in everyday life. And when RTE puts some of these old things that Ross are talking about, is talking about like Shan Notes or whatever out on a CD, people have to pay for it. And then it's copyrighted and it's put in RTE's library, inaccessible to everybody. They could put all this up online and make it available. But a lot of this stuff, the reason it was 7 million words in Irish from 1600 to 1800 was because a lot of this poetry and stuff was not Shakespeare. It was definitely stylized and mystified so most people couldn't understand it. It was definitely a poetic language meant for the poets, so the poets could criticize each other. They were in a niche of their own. And that was romanticizing the past in a way. And the Irish destroyed the Burren. But on some of the other issues, as far as genetics are concerned, okay, geneticists cannot tell that the Irish people came from this, the Irish people can't tell from that. They can only tell your mother's mother ad infinitum where she came from. Or father's. That's mitochondrial DNA, and I don't know what the father's one is called, probably mitochondrial DNA. That's all they can tell. So in 1600, there was 400,000 of your ancestors alive at the very same time. In 1400, there was 2 million of your ancestors alive at the very same time. So they can tell where two of them came from. They can't tell where the rest of them came from. So talking about the Irish language, I'd be asked to say, why would people learn Irish? Okay, first of all, the Irish language is whatever the Irish people speak, or people in Ireland speak. Mostly that is English. Very often, that uses words from Gaelic, like in Dublin, the word slapper, or the word sketch you use in school. They come from Irish. Throughout the world, there's words like whiskey that come from Irish. Or the word car, the word to box somebody comes from Irish. To bash something comes from Irish. But this is not Irish language anymore. This is now English. But what the Irish language is what's spoken in Irish. The reason I think Gaelic is very important to everyone, and, well, it's the reason it's important to me, is not because it's Irish or I'm Irish, but it's because I believe in linguistic diversity. And this is an endangered language on my own doorstep. And I think that it's very difficult for people to learn it, because one of the main reasons is that it's been appropriated by an elite. And, for instance, people have decided to have a monopoly on grammar in Gaelic. Okay, in Kerry, you say Éireann Bhabhairt, it means on the table. And in Ishir, they say Éireann Mabhairt, on the table. So there's no one grammar in Irish. It's the greatest postmodernist language in the world, because nothing is really right or nothing is really wrong. You can say things. It's a very democratic language. It's to do with understanding what other people are saying. So it's fantastic in that way. And I think Irish is very special. But it has been appropriated initially with the new Ghaeilge and the Irish Department of Education, which foisted on a certain type of Irish. But now it's become like a badge of elitism. And the reason that people speak Irish very often, apart from there's good careers in it, if you're going to be a translator or something like that, but very often, apart from Republican roots, which speak it for identity reasons, the other people, the Dublin Four set, speak Irish because it's the thing to do. And it's all for all the wrong reasons, as far as I'm concerned. They will kill the language. They will suffocate it with their grammatical correctness and the idea that something is wrong or right. If words like slapper and words like riot still exist, these are words that don't have to be reclaimed. They're already ours. The Gaelic language should be exactly the same. There are far more words like gee. The Dublin word gee is originally from Irish as well. And so are from Gaelic as well. So definitely, it already is a part of us. When we say things in English like, I'm only after doing this, or I'm only after doing that, that's coming directly from Gaelic. So it is very much a part of the way a lot of Irish people speak, although that's becoming less so with the new RP that's creeping in everywhere, which again, that brings me back to RTE and some of the what the RTE is there for. They take our taxpayers' money. That's the license they take as well. And they also take, they also sell stuff to you. When you sit down to watch a movie on Wednesday night, RTE isn't there to provide a movie. They're there to provide a service for the advertisers who want to take money out of your pocket. That's what RTE is there. Therefore, RTE is not representative of the country, and free media, indie media, community radio stations, which are all around you, they're springing up everywhere. Things are being archived, made freely available to everybody, and this is the way forward. This is not you become the media. That's what it is. You are now the media, so you can get involved, you can put things on. You try get an RTE and see how many hoops you have to jump through. But with this stuff, it's completely open to you, and it will be archived. If you get RTE now, you'll have to buy back what you've written. You will have to buy back. You won't get it free online unless you get it on a podcast, which will be only up there for a week. You go back, try and listen to your grandfather in RTE. You'll have to pay for that privilege. Even though he gave free leave of his own time and somebody from RTE was being paid, or from BBC was being paid.
They're actually going into the Trat archives and you can listen for free there. You're not allowed tape.
But you try to use it anywhere else, for instance. If I try to put Laurence O'Kine, a Sean Noel singer, out on Near FM, I'd be down on like a sack of bricks for royalties. Or Roisin and Auron or somebody like that. You know, it's people like Harry Bradshaw who have been lauded and have made lots of money for a long time off this because they've digitised it and provided a brilliant service in doing so. But the idea that RTE can make loads of money off of this and that people are asked to pay for something a second time, like the Pope's visit to Ireland, for instance, or whatever, is absolutely scandalous. It's not public service broadcasting, it's public disservice. It's an insult, just like their advertisements are an insult. When somebody actually, all the ads try to empathise with you. Oh, you're coming home after a long day's work. We know exactly how you feel. You know, you want to go on a holiday or you want to have a nice Bailey's, whatever the hell. Okay? What they're saying to you is, oh yeah, we know how you feel. We just want your money. You know, that's what they want. So, and it's done in such a see-through way. I think it's ridiculous. But coming back to what is Irish and what isn't Irish, I think sovereignty is a complete myth. I mean, we see the way that the Irish government bent over backwards when it came to Shannon Airport and what the US was doing there. And with the European Union and stuff, we don't actually have an economic policy of our own anymore, unless it's to reduce taxes even further, which will never apply to ministers or people in the government. And then the other issue of sovereignty and what it means to be Irish. We say we have our two games. We have hurling and we have Gaelic football. I don't think there's anything that original about Gaelic football. But definitely hurling is a game. Where does the money go to there when people pay in to the GAA and you get 80,000 people watching a great hurling match like Cork and Galway, for instance, like that? I think it's a great travesty that hurling is on the back foot and having to try to compete with soccer, which is just a commercial game. The heart that people put into hurling is incredible. But coming back to sovereignty, there's nothing sovereign about our nation. If you can call it, speak, the whole nation, nationalism is a bit of a myth anyway. And the whole idea of, whatever state, there's very little sovereign about it. It's the highest bidder. It's government for the highest bidder is what it's about. And that's at home and abroad. So back in the Al-Masri, I think, was a Saudi Arabian guy who was given a passport in the early 90s because he had enough money. But yet somebody who was poor wasn't given enough passport, or wasn't given a passport. So I don't think it was racist, I think it was poorest. You know, it was an anti-poor policy. The other, so the Irish sovereignty, definitely out the window. But I think anarchy or anarchism gets a bad rap. I mean, I'm an anarchist. I'm a state anarchist. I'm a socialist anarchist. So I believe that the state can be a brilliant thing if that state is democratic and that state is accountable. That is fantastic. We are nowhere near that at the moment. We have some of the vestiges of that. Occasionally we have a referendum. Occasionally we have elections, which, like, that's some sort of delegative system, but they can't be recalled, so it's problematic. But we do have open deliberation. That's becoming less so. Speaker Square should be good for that. It's at least one step in that direction. And we do have we have jury systems. We have certain democratic structures, but we are not living in a democratic state in any meaningful sense of the word. Anarchist state would actually, anarchy just means no authority. And sometimes I would say some anarchists they get it a bit wrong. They give anarchism a bad name because they see things in terms of, well, there's us anarchists and then there's them people who are not anarchists. Anarchism is everywhere. My father, who's voted Fianna Fáil all his life, I would suggest, is an anarchist in the way he treats people in his everyday interactions. Okay? And when people queue up at a bus stop, okay, and there actually is an orderly queue, that's a form of anarchy. There's no law saying that people have to do this. That's just the way people respond. In fact, a vast majority of people, I'd say 98%, know nothing about the law whatsoever. Yet does that mean that they break it all the time deliberately? You know, if they do want to break something, like they want to smoke hash, they'll do it anyway, whether the law is there or not. So the law, you have to ask, I would say that whoever makes the law is made by the rich, and it's broken most by the rich. And that's the sort of society we're living in right now at the moment. But anarchy I think anarchists should try to be less exclusive and to be more inclusive. And the state, by leaving the state out of their policy, the state has become a bad word in anarchy. Anarchists don't like the state anymore. The state is not the problem. The system is the problem. State is a good thing. State means that trains will run from point A to point B, and there'll be more of them. State also means that we can have a global solution to environmental problems. State means we can have, say, a coherent health system or a coherent education system. We have certain, education is a slightly different issue, because this guy called Ilyich Lenin, who actually wrote about the problems of education and mass indoctrination from such an early age. But that's another issue too, that I think that children, if there's five children to a class, that the teachers could take them out and bring them places, and they could actually, during the day, after they got the classes and stuff over and done with, and you get far more done, especially people from disadvantaged areas. If you've got mixed classes and you've disability and you've all the rest put in one class of five, you know, children get to know all sorts of differences at that age as well, and it gives less time for this sort of cabals and stuff that happens in class. But definitely, anarchists, a socialist solution. This is the socialism. Just means that people own the private resource, the scarce resources that are there. And I think that this is definitely the way. So we have a scarce resource like energy. Okay, it doesn't have to be. There's energy everywhere. We create energy when we walk everywhere. That's Vittorio Prodi. That's Romano Prodi's brother in the European Parliament at the moment, suggests that everybody, it be made compulsory that people carry fuel cells, and then they can plug in to whatever. You know, I don't agree with the compulsory element of it, but I do love the idea that there is all this energy out there. But there are scarce resources. Let's say road space. Let's say land. Okay, land should be nationalised. Banks should be nationalised. Okay, that involves the state. And anarchy, there's a problem with conventional anarchism, if you can speak of such a thing, in that it says that it should leave it up to people at a particular time. But then there's no planning for when a hurricane comes. It's just completely open to charity. Things become, instead of being services, instead of being rights, they become favours, you know. So there is an argument to be made for a fair pay, which I think everybody should get the same. But that's slightly different again. So I just propose that everybody become or look into the possibility of socialist anarchism. Unfortunately, it may not happen until there's an environmental crisis through the current stupidity of dependence on oil, which actually is factored into most things you buy and use, and has a great deal of that cost. But when that problem does happen, and they do send the troops in the streets of US cities, not just New Orleans, when there are problems, when all this does happen, you know, people will start looking for alternatives. Unfortunately, I'm not saying that we're before our time. There are always a minority who keep different and varying ideas alive. But at least it's worth, in the society we're living in, when people buy their opinions in newspapers. They don't know what to think themselves, so they go out and buy newspapers to tell them what to think. Or they'll watch certain television programmes to tell them what to think. And it'll be a little bit like, they'll be cheering for one crowd, then cheering for another. It's like a bit of a competition. And they've lost, really, the honesty of being able to think of what they actually think themselves, and having the confidence to actually say that. If you think something is wrong, it's not just you. There's probably hundreds, thousands out there who completely agree with you. You just do not hear it on the general media agenda. That is not your fault. That is the fault of the system that is there, an undemocratic system. But that media is there, and it's growing. And we are taking things into our hands more and more. When I say we, I just mean just ordinary people. Without the big pay packets, without the salaries. They don't have to be doing it for moneyed motives or for anything else. And when we take back that, they lose the control. It becomes democratic. Thank you.
Well done, lad.
Cheers. Good?
Yeah, very good.
Cheers to you.
Well done,
Anybody else like to get up and speak? This is Speaker Square, so it's open to everyone. There we go.